This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 26th of July, 1962. The title of this lecture is Prep Checking with Mid-Rood Buttons. This tape is 67 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Well, now, we, still, I think, what date do we still have?
26th.
Oh, you're still here on the 26th? Hey. 26th July, AD 12. Second lecture, St. Hill briefing course. The subject of this lecture is prep checking. Prep checking. It goes without saying that everything that you're working on, I refuse to leave any errors in it just to appear right. In other words, that's a peculiarity I have, and you'll just have to put up with it. Most scientists get enamored with an idea, and they have so few. They spend the rest of their lives trying to prove it. And were they to change their minds concerning this, they would, of course, lose in repute. Now, I don't consider that repute is more important than getting the job done. And I don't care what you think of my repute, I'm going to go on being honest. When I find something wrong, why, I jolly well reserve the right to say so. And when I have been wrong, I have uniformly been the first to tell you. When something can be improved and make the job easier for you, I don't care what it invalidates, I'm going to tell you. Now, there's a certain amount of effort spent in the direction of trying to force me over into the other position. Every once in a while, I get blamed for not having invented Scientology in the last lifetime. Somebody comes along and says, well, why on earth didn't you tell us about missed withholes back in 1952, you see? Right, if I'd known about missed withholes in 1952, I would have told you. It's as simple as that. You see, don't ever assume that I am dealing you data off a stacked deck which has been in existence for Lord knows when. Although this data existed at one time or another on the track, and I don't mean the whole body of the data, the various data and postulates were made up to remedy and solve things as people went along the track. Packaging it up in one piece and so forth just, well, let me put it this way, hasn't been customary. And Thetan got the way he is because of the introductions of arbitraries. And when you find out you're dealing with a few more arbitraries than you have to, well, the thing to do is to throw them away. That's the proper thing to do. You say, there's more arbitraries than we need, so let's dispense with them. And any time I can get two procedures to do a job that was formerly being done by 50, well, I for sure will give you the two procedures. And if I can find two jobs that can be done with one procedure, I'll sure throw one of those procedures away. That's the only sensible way to look at it. And I've just found a way to use middle rudiments and make them double in brass and get the job done much better in prep checking, which is quite remarkable. And this is very embarrassing because I've just gotten out two policy letters giving you canned prep checks. All right, if I wanted to appear the big man and I'm always right, you know, right, right, exclamation point, right, so forth, I would, of course, have to suppress this data because data, which is slightly more complicated, was just released at the beginning of the week. That would be good for my reputation, but it's sure hard as hell on you as an auditor and a PC, you see, so I don't subscribe to that policy. Now, the middle rudiments were carefully sorted out of a tremendous number of buttons which could have been used. Now, oddly enough, you could add another 15 or 20 buttons with the greatest of ease and have your middle rudiments maybe 23 or 24 items long. And what you'd do, this is probably the way the session go. In any two-hour session, you'd get in your beginning rudiments, you would ask one prep check question, and then to check the thing, you'd spend the remainder of the body of the session. And then if the original prep check question that you ask in the session were found to be alive, you wouldn't have any time left, of course, to clean it, so you'd have to leave it that way, so you could get into your end rudiments. This doesn't appear to me to be very efficient. So I've carefully taken out all of the stuff we knew and so forth, and believe me, a tremendous amounts of stuff have accumulated as far as data is concerned. You know, this research line is only something on the order of about, see, I think it's about 32 years old right now, and the most concentrated part of the area is about 15 years. And to rack up this much data and cover this much territory in a measly 15 years, particularly regarded from a whole track viewpoint, is not only incredible, it's impossible. There's been a certain amount of rush on it and so forth, but basically it's just working on it that has been important, and working on it without any pitch. You see, there's no pitch. I'm not working for the intergalactic survey, you see, or something like that, come to Earth to civilize the natives, you know, or something like that. That arbitrary, we can delete. that doesn't mean that I'm not connected with the intergalactic government, you see, but they don't know about it either yet. I have my name, rank, and serial number, just like other people. But that's very funny. Hardly anybody can ever clear. Have you ever worked under an assumed name? Clang! Yeah, what? And I have to answer, you see. And I keep giving this thing. It always gets cleared any time I get a check, which is very, very funny. People wonder why it doesn't clear. Well, it doesn't clear because it's true. It goes on and on and on and on and on. You see, it's present time. Now, we look over this situation, and we had all this bushel basket load of buttons in the human mind. You've seen them, a lot of principal ones in the chart of attitudes, a lot of other areas of data and so forth. There's various buttons that you can push. And frankly, although they were announced and given to you very softly and very quietly, the middle rudiments are an assembly and a strip down of buttons based on this fact. They consist of, when you add the word suggest, which is used in your prep checks, they consist of just those things which can keep one of the others from reading, and which, if present, can keep a goal or item from reading. That is the whole assembly. Well, let's make some pretty powerful buttons. Let's take a look at them. There's suppress. Now, if you got all the suppress off the case, nearly everything would blow, don't you see? If suppress is alive, of course you don't get a read on the remainder. So just as a rule in law, you've got to run suppress before you add in another series of anything. That's the law, that's the rule. You've got to put in suppress. By getting off suppress, then you will get a read on the remainder. Now, suggest could be translated, and sometimes, by the way, has to be, as isness. That's evaluation out of your auditor's code. That's evaluation. That says something is. That's the isness of things. Now, it is a very powerful button because you say something is, and although it wasn't reading before, it will now read. The auditor says that is still alive, and oddly enough, he could possibly make a PC wonder about it, you see, and the PC jams on it and says that couldn't be still alive to himself, don't you see? And it creates a little ridge there, and it'll just read on the meter and read on the meter and read on the meter, you see? So evaluation can make something read, and that is contained in the most, its nearest cousin in the English language that anybody can understand in the form of suggest. Now, the next point would be invalidate. And invalidation, if present, if a goal is invalidated, it will now read as the goal. It'll make an item read which wouldn't otherwise read. When you take the invalidation off, the item no longer reads, which is very peculiar. Now, you've got suppress, of course, on top of an invalidate, keeps the invalidation from showing up. Now, fail to reveal is off the line because it gives you the dirty needle. That is that little minute rock slam. That is always a fail to reveal. So that gives you a particular and peculiar needle read. The item careful of is to a marked degree. Another suppress. But it has this characteristic. After the person has been having something done for a little while that is a little bit offbeat, they can hang up in the thing if they have become too careful of something or other. And they could also make something read in quite the reverse by not suppressing. Careful of. It gives you an opposite flow. So you get your middle rudiments, in short, as being something which are capable of making a goal or item read if present. Now that suggest, moving that suggest in there, which you'll find in your prep check, is actually not as current or as constant as you might think. You wouldn't use it in every middle rudiment that came by because you can pick it up at all one fell swoop, mostly based on this fact that auditors seldom suggest anything, but they might seem to someplace or another, so you pick it up on a prep check basis rather than a middle rude basis every time you go by. You actually then have, in essence, five middle rudiment buttons that could be used. Now, the way you would arrange these buttons, if you wanted the optimum service out of these buttons, for a prep check purpose, which I'm about to give you, because I'm going to show you how to use just the middle rudiments to perform a whole prep check, which is a very interesting little advance here. You would say suppress. And then you'd say suggest. You see. And then you'd say careful of. And then invalidate. And fail to reveal. You follow how those things are played together. Of course, the one which is most important and can blow the session up in bits and pieces, we put at the end to occur when everything else has been beautifully swamped up. And we actually put suppress in twice by putting its opposite in. You see, careful. So you'd have these arranged in that particular fashion as being very powerful. You'd have suppress, suggest. You would then have careful of and invalidate, and then fail to reveal. All right, in that order, you'd have two cracks at suppression. Now, that would be very interesting if these buttons could be used for the bulk of prep checking, wouldn't it? Well, if they're that strong a series of buttons, why, they must have some value. And last night I sat down and looked at the PC, and it was very late, and I'd had a lot of auditing that hadn't recommended itself to me, one way or the other, and I was already violating the auditor's code, one of the only times I get a chance to audit. Way after 10, man. You have to be good to audit after 10. I had PC sort of gummed up, and I said, what am I going to do here? And said, well, best thing I can do with something like this is form some zeros here before I get on about my business. Form up some zeros. I was thinking, zeros? Why the hell should I form any zeros? I know the PC's not been feeling well for an exact period of time. Let's just throw the middle roots in a zero questions. Man, I've seen of cysts in my time, but that was about the wildest I've seen in some while. That was just about the best zeros I ever saw. So after the session, I said, what the ready bleeding hell happened here? Almost blew the roof off, you know? And I said, well, of course, you idiot. I seldom call myself an idiot, except, sometimes do. You've carefully got together the most powerful buttons you could possibly give, because they're the only things that can make a goal read or not read, or an item read or not read. You sum these things together in the middle rudiments, then you don't move them over into prep checking. Well, what you expect will happen if you move them over into prep checking? Well, of course, they're the main buttons that are sitting there. Crash! All hell's going to break loose if you prep check these things against a period of time. Quite interesting. So, I sat down and wrote this down for you. This would just be a sample action. This would be a sample action. This would be a prep check, guaranteed to do something very interesting with the PC. This is more complicated than it need to be. But just give you an idea of what you could do with this. This is fun just for you. When did you decide to come to St. Hill? You asked this guy, see? You asked this student. When did you decide to? Well, he finally picks it out of the ether. And you get the thing confirmed on the meter and so forth. You get the date. You write the date down in the auditor's report. Then you ask him, just before whatever date was, see? What happened? In other words, you discover an area of overts, which is the prior confusion to the date. You got the idea? Area of overts. And then date the beginning of that prior confusion. We're moving it back a little earlier, date the beginning of the prior confusion. Mm-hmm. And now, just for the hell of it, in case he skidded and missed, why, let's select an arbitrary date a month earlier. And let that be our date by which we head these questions. You know, your prep check question's got to have a time limiter. This all starts to get very, very amusing and very interesting indeed, because you've moved back to a specific date now. You got the beginning of the prior confusion before he made this decision. Now we are going to move back a month earlier, just in case he slipped and didn't forget the original overt. You know, I didn't remember the original overt, so we're going to take that as the arbitrary date. And then we're going to do this with it. All we're going to do is frame an expanded mid-rude series of questions. We're going to flatten each one repetitively, and then we're going to go over this two or three times. I'm going to frame the questions like this. Let us say, it wouldn't be, but let us say it was June 1st, 1955. That wouldn't be, but let's just say that was the date. Your prep check question would be, since June 1st, 1955... is there anything you have suppressed? Well, now, if you don't think that even going to keep your PC running for a while, you're mistaken. And we're just going to run this repetitive, see? Just totally repetitive. Since June 1st, 1955, is there anything you have suppressed? Thank you. Since June 1st, 1955, is there anything you have suppressed? Thank you. Since June 1st, 1955. You don't have to answer these, just so I'm not missing any withholds, are you? Since June 1st, 1955, is there anything you suppressed? See? And finally the PC says, you know, no. That's it. That's the lot. And you say, thank you, I'll check that on the meter. You understand? This is done terribly formally. You see, a very formal auditing. You're not interjecting comments, running two-way comm, nothing. Because it's very easy. It's almost automatic. And you get it over here and say, all right, I'm going to check that on the meter. Since June 1st, 1955, is there anything you have suppressed? That reads that. That. Oh, yes, well, that's my mother. So forth and so forth. You just lay the meter aside. Since June 1st, 1955, is there anything you suppressed? Since June 1st, 1955, is there anything you suppressed? You go on and on and on. Well, honest, you're gonna get yourself a bucket of answers, man. In the first place, the PC's perfectly willing to tell you things they've suppressed. In fact, they practically springboard off as he remembers them, see? This is auditing with bed springs under it. Right? Boom, bing, boom. That's dandy. Oddly enough, a lot of somatics come off at this time. Now, what I thought would happen when I was doing this is that everything might re-stimulate. But it didn't. The somatics came off with the suppressions. A lot of them. All right, well, let's say the PC has come to a point of saying no, and let's say that we have asked the PC, I will check this on the meter, since June 1st, 1955, is there anything you have suppressed? And let's say that we have read the meter correctly. And that it was clean. Now, clean is awfully relative in this case. Man, this is relative. But it didn't show on the meter, and the PC isn't thinking of any answers. And as far as he's concerned, as far as you're concerned, that's clean. All right, fine. That's great. All right. Without doing anything else extraordinary or doing anything, we simply swing into the second question. Since June 1st, 1955... is there anything you have suggested? Now, the funny part of it is that you will quiver on this and you will re-decide, perhaps, to run this as decided or something like that. But that is not the meaning of it. The meaning of the thing is evaluated, don't you see? But suggested is very mild, isn't it? Yes, I've suggested to my father that he go to hell, and I've suggested to Mamie that she buy a new hat, and I've suggested that we separate, and you get the idea. I've suggested that it's better that they blow the world up, and, you know, these first little things. And so it's very mild. It's not any overstimulant or anything at all. Well, we follow the same repetitive on and 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 on this, and we don't care if it runs shortly or longly. We're going to run it to a point where both the PC and the meter agree utterly that that's it. That's clean. That's good. All right. That's fine. You drop that. Everything's run along fine. This will probably be the second or third prep check this time. But this is actually a 25-hour intensive probabilities, not possibly, because my question last night was, in the past 2 weeks, I ran and ran and ran. All right, and so we go on and on, and now we get into this sort of a situation. We want to know now, of course, some more suppressions. So, we say, since June 1st, 1955, is there anything you've been careful of? And isn't that mild and innocent, man? That's mild and innocent. Of course, all this time, given that you're reading the meter and getting your rudiments in every session and that sort of thing, and not goofing anywhere along the line, your PC's ARC is just building up, building up, building up, building up with the audit. They'll be able to blow things better and all that sort of thing. So we flatten that one. Since June 1st, 1955, is there anything that you've been careful of? And of course, we get the remaining suppressions off of this thing. And then we let the PC have it right in the eyes. Okay. Got that all beautifully flat. And so we say, got it on the meter and everything. Is everything clean? Since June 1st, 1955, is there anything you have invalidated? Well, that's a nice, quiet sort of word, isn't it? Invalidated. Anybody'd answer that. Pow! You know. Now you're going to get some somatics he didn't dream of, you know, here and there and this and that, various things. Cognitions, that sort of thing going to come up. We run that thing on down. PC says it's flat, and the meter says it's flat, and because we know by this time how to read our meter, we know it's flat. And we got that one all set, all squared away, and PC's feeling fine. Now we say, since June 1st, 1955, is there anything you have failed to reveal? Well, what's very interesting about this is you, of course, during the sessions as you went along, will probably have had to use your random rudiment now and then, or something like that. You might have had this to boost along. But this will come as a totally natural action to your PC by this time. Fail to reveal. That's very innocent. That's very calm. That's very nice. And he'll just walk on through and unload with holes left and right, hardly noticing that he does so because it seems so easy and natural and everything will go fine. Now, the possibility is, certainly if that becomes flat at that time, we could actually skip the whole thing and not do anything further about it. Don't overlook that possibility. Providing we don't do this idiocy of check the midroods on the period. Do a fast check of the midroods on the period. Let's just cut our throats right there, see? Since June 1st, 1955, is there anything you have suppressed, suggested, been careful of, failed to reveal? You know, and just dismiss all the rest of the withholds. See? If you just left it at that, went through each one of these things once, you'd have practically a different PC sitting in front of you, providing it was done in model session and you were reading the meter and you had your rudiments in. See? This would be quite interesting. This would be highly informative. You say, well, you couldn't possibly have gotten the bottom of every chain. Well, here's what I found out, and the only reason I'm releasing the data is because You're taking them up in this particular sequence, and because these are very odd little buttons to be taking up, and they appear to be very innocent and that sort of thing, they clear away an awful lot of track without worrying about fundamentals and basics. And that, by omitting the withhold system, we left ourselves wide open, don't you see? Some guy just wouldn't clear up on this subject because we never had any method by which to get the earliest on the chain, don't you see? But this doesn't matter whether you get the earliest on the chain or not. Because these buttons are hot enough, apparently, to wash out whatever is going on without you finding a big missed withhold sitting in your lap and that sort of thing. But you could, this is for the purposes of establishment of a system here, you could now start in all over again. If you were running an intensive and you had lots of time, or if the PC had given it a very shallow pass, you'd start in all over again and you could get it from the beginning to the end. In other words, you'd do the whole cycle of those middle rudiments. Probably take you another session or two or three to get that all the way through again, but you'd pick up some deeper fundamentals along the line. However, I wish to caution you to this effect. That is cleaning a clean. You have already said that that's all that he has suppressed and that sort of thing. You'd only get into trouble with this if you weren't able to read a meter or you left one of them muddied up. Now, a couple of times on TV demonstrations here, I've seen a prep check question left done flat as though it were not very important or something of the sort. Well, let me tell you, man, that exclamation point. Important. Don't ever leave a prep check question unflat, whatever else you do. That's the Catholic Church has sins of blasphemy and other types of sins for which they burn people, and armies shoot men for cowardice in battle. I think they shoot them now for being brave in battle, but anyhow, armies shoot people for desertion when they're headed by Eisenhower. Every group has its sins. See, we don't have many sins. We don't pay attention to many sins. But there is a sin, really, is leaving a prep check question on the flat. Because it amounts to a sinful situation. You've got somebody all upset, and without knowing what is wrong, he gets blowy, and he's liable to leave Scientology and deny himself auditing. It's important. It's important. All sorts of wild things can happen by just leaving one sec check question on the flat. Darndest thing you ever heard of. I never seen so much commotion. God, I've had telex machines going wildly in all directions and everything else just on that one basis. Well, we'll put that down as a sin. And you teach an academy student sometime, his is not to reason why. Can't seem to pass the missed withhold bulletin or something like that. But just tell him it is a sin. Now, that's quite interesting as a cleanup, little intensive for a prep check area. Quite interesting. If that were run on you, you would be quite amazed at some of the results and things that would come on. Now, I've just given you a method of discovering a date by taking a decision which somebody has obviously made. I'll give you an obvious decision. The fellow has gotten married a couple of years ago. But we don't do a problems intensity to find the key problem on the track before we audit him. If we haven't done that, we're not going to spend any time doing that, something like that. You can arbitrarily pick up some obvious decision the person has made. What's the most obvious decision of this guy? Well, he must have decided to get married. Of course, the girl is probably of two opinions about that. But he must have decided this. And therefore, just pick on it. And decide that if he made a decision of this character, why, there must have been a prior confusion ahead of it. And you will always be right. Oddly enough, you will always be right. Now, if you just back up the time a month arbitrarily before the prior confusion that you've spotted, of course, you've included any little additional activities that might have occurred that he has kind of forgotten about. So you sort of have a basic to the prior confusion. Just a method of doing it. You could also run this, wildly enough, on this basis. I'll tell you the basis you can't run it on in a minute, but you could run on this basis. In this lifetime, now let's really shoot the moon, see? Let's settle in for a 50-hour intensive, just like that. In this lifetime, is there anything you have suppressed? Yeah, well, we're settling in for the long haul here, see? Gosh, you'll get to the end of the first question, you see, about three or four sessions later. Well, that's fine. That's fine. And you just follow exactly the same action, except you don't have to establish any arbitrary prior confusion, don't you see? There is one, but don't try to establish it. And you just carry on exactly in that fashion. You first clear up, of course, always the same sequence. Suppress, and then suggest, and then careful of, and then invalidate, and then fail to reveal, the magic five. And you're going to get all kinds of wild things coming up. Oddly enough, if you attacked it in that particular way, you would get withholds off PCs more or less easily and voluntarily. You wouldn't have to be slugging for it very hard, don't you think? Now, there's only one caution on this. I talked to you a little early this evening. Follow the rules. Follow them right straight down the middle of the path. So forth. But don't be an idiot. Fail to reveal communicates nothing to this PC, let us say. Let's kind of fish around on a question before we go overboard on the thing, see? Fail to reveal means nothing to them. It doesn't mean an overt. It doesn't mean anything else. Fail to reveal, well, reveal, he's never undressed in public, and this is what reveal means to him. See? So his answer is nothing. I've never failed to reveal. Nothing. He got it all backwards, and somehow or other can't realize that when he answers it that way, it means he's always undressed in public. He just doesn't seem to untangle this thing. So you'd have to, at this point, by any of those points, you'd have to be smart enough to stay on the exact meaning, but within the intelligence of the PC. Give you an example, you audit a little kid. You got to translate the word around, and sometimes you can make a wild mistake. It doesn't mean the same thing at all. But you've got to use the words in the meaning that will communicate to the PC. So might run that one. Since, in this lifetime, is there anything you've done that people didn't find out about at the time? It's what you're trying to get, see? He says, well, I was audited last year at the HASI, see? I was audited last year, and I gave them all of my overts, so therefore, there is nothing I have failed to reveal. You don't think you don't sometimes get this answer. You ought to read some auditor's report sometimes. That's pretty wild. Sure enough, the auditor pulled a lot of them. So it's now unanswerable. You see, it's a question. But people didn't find out at the time. Oh, at the time? People didn't find out about it at the time. Well, they didn't find out about it at the time. Yes, they didn't. Oh, it's true. Oh, there were quite a few of those. Well, that's what you mean. Yes. Big cognition. Well, you can run that thing, but the only error you're going to get into in handling this little system I'm giving you here, using the middle rudiments, Dublin and brass, the only error you'll make is failing to get a communication established here. And
Invalidated. Boy, he doesn't understand that, man. Of course, an invalidation, you should know, is not is, and it's the not is axiom. And so you realize that that translates into maybe tried to make nothing up. Since in this lifetime, is there anything you've tried to make nothing of? Yes. It's almost a direct translation. If I, in fact, it's possibly a little directer than invalidate. But that communicates. So it goes by this rule that if you find the PC is unable to answer or give you many, don't blame it on the PC's unwillingness to give up with holes or something, or the caginess of the PC. Blame it on the communication. The communication is not occurring. And you've got to make the communication so it does bite. It'll be the offbeat of that communication which stomps this thing. Naturally, you go to all the trouble of finding out what each one of these words means and translates well to the PC. You've got a new worded set of middle rudiments, haven't you, to use on the PC. They might sound very strange, but they are communicating to the PC, don't you see? Hey, that's what it is. So anyway, if you were to do that and do just that, the bank unstacks in its natural sequence, which is always desirable in sec checking and prep checking. And you have just about the easiest job in the world, which is doing a repetitive prep check. It becomes just as easy as can be. Now, you're not recommending that your prep check assignment be immediately transferred over to this. What you're doing in prep checking immediately be transferred over into this activity. So on, you got the last two pages of Joburg 6A. These are specialist actions, which of course have to be checkable and so forth. It's mainly done as class work and to sweeten up the tempers of your fellow students. That's why it is. And don't let them accumulate a lot of auditing averts and that sort of thing. But if you get signed to a long stretch of prep checking and so on, and you completed your assignment, there's some more auditing that you can do in this particular line, or if you're assigned to prep checking and you have already completed your requirements on the thing, that's what I'd do. I wouldn't go into any arbitrary form. Arbitrary forms have their value. They particularly have value in instruction, because you can check and find out what the person did. I'd use more of this type of approach. Now I'll show you another way this could be used and combined and made up. Let's take the old style problems intensive, the way it was finally canned up and released with its O and P sections, and sort out by assessment the chief problem by assessment. That's a self-determined decision the person has made. Of course, that's immediately preceded by a problem, and that's immediately preceded by a prior confusion. And by assessment of the decisions, self-determined decisions the person has made, by assessment, discover the most charged decision in this lifetime. Now, this would appear absolutely magical to a raw meat PC, and would stand a psychoanalyst on his ear. What you do is just take an assessment of these self-determined decisions, date the problem, date the prior confusion, and remember now, there's one thing everybody has missed consistently and continually in the problems intensive that just drives them completely astray and makes problem intensive unworkable. We mean the prior confusion to that decision. And we're talking about a period of time as little as 5 minutes and as great as a week or two. And we're not talking about 3 years before. Auditor after auditor, I have watched them, I've read their reports, and I absolutely groan. They come in from Central Oregon, that sort of thing, and I groan on this thing. They take periods of 3 to 5 years before the self-determined decision. No, that is not a prior confusion. That's not the prior confusion that is meant. The prior confusion that is meant takes place from 5 minutes to a couple of weeks. It's right there. And if you ask the PC, you got this terrifically charged, self-determined decision. And you ask the PC for the prior confusion. You see, it happened when he was 27, and it was a decision. It was a decision to go to work for the Bidewee Soap Company. This thing is absolutely dynamite. I mean, you get it on the meter, and you've been going down this list, and it goes, pow! You go to work for the Bidewee Soap Company. We asked the prior confusion, and the PC says, well, it was my mother washing my ears when I was a little boy. And the auditor says, well, all right. Who were the people who were present during that period? Well, it was myself and my mother. And the auditor then runs overts against self, you see, to solve the whole thing. No, that is not the way you do it. I thought I'd written it down plainly, but apparently I missed there. Because a prior confusion means the just prior confusion. It can be within 5 minutes of the decision. That the PC will slide off of this and go anyplace else rather than face the thing. You got to scramble him right in there. You'd be surprised what's left on a problems intensive. What gets left, you know, what never gets touched. The whole prior confusion never gets touched, you know. There's a murder and a bank robbery, see, that just happened the last Saturday before the fact. Oh, there. That's all clean. You say, well, is there any prior confusion to that? Well, it falls off the pin. Well, what's the prior confusion to that? Well, when my mother was washing my ears when I was a little boy, an auditor and I took that all up. No. No. See, it's just prior. So if you think of a just prior confusion, all will be beautifully resolved. Your actions on putting one of these things together are elementary actions. You want the self-determined decision. You don't want an other determined decision. It makes sometimes marriage and so forth is not a self-determined decision. You want something he decided, decisions he made. You ask most PCs this, and they sometimes start off very sloppily and give you other determined answers. See? You want self-determined changes in your life, is what you mean. That you decided, you see, and if you say self-determined changes in your life that you yourself decided to change on, you can kind of get it across, you know, across. And the PC says to you, I was ill, and they changed me to the hospital. And you just leave your pencil in the air, and you say to the PC, all right, that's fine. Now, thank you very much. Now, I'll repeat the auditing question. Now, I want you to answer this question. This is the question. You know, until you find again, all of a sudden, oh, you mean things I decided. Well, that's different. Changes in his life. Because sometimes it has to take a little while to dawn on the PC that he himself has affected any change in his life. When you first address him on this subject, he thinks of himself as a pawn who was moved from one end of the board to the other. He never thinks that he himself pushed himself around. So you sometimes have to dig a little bit before you get these things. And you get those written down, and you make a nice list, each one. And that self-determined change, see, it's got to be very, very short. Very, very short. You shorthand it. Well, my wife and I, we owned a motel, and we had been around the desert for quite a while. And we had this service station first in Waco, see? And then we owned this motel. We owned this motel, and I went up to Montana for a little while. I saw a friend of mine up there. He's a goat hunter. And I saw him for a long time, and actually I brought him back down. And he made a couple of insulting remarks about this motel and that sort of thing, but that was after I went to Los Angeles. And I finally found a buyer for the motel, and we decided to go to San Francisco. And honest to God, you'll find this sometimes on the auditing report, the whole story. Honest, you'll find the whole thing. I've seen some of them, and I haven't written that hard enough, see? Oh, it's very, you know, decided to go to San Francisco, right? June 1928. That's all you want. You're going to have to read those things back, and you got no time. And that was the place where Waco, you know, and we had the petrol station in Waco. And then I went up to Montana, and there's a fellow up there shooting. You know, you haven't got time to read all that. It's a totally practical consideration. I don't make him funny, but actually, I thought I had originally stressed this madly. And you should see some of the old records that we have around here on that. They're quite ludicrous. We corrected it, and after that they get so they could really do it. But some of the first efforts have been carefully explained to them. It had to be in two or three words with a date following it, you see. And you'd still get this short story, and they keep running out of forms, you know. Well, let me tell you the liability of putting down an other determined change. All you do is assess the list of engrams. They must be self-determined change. You must not have on that list any other determined change. You're liable to find yourself assessing an engram. Well, the doctor decided I had to go to the mountains for my health. And the auditor writes down, gone to mountains for health, October 1956. And he comes along and he's assessing Wiley here. And God, this October, mountains for health, October 1956. And boy, it just falls off the pin, you know. You can hear the air being split as the needle falls. I said, boy, that's it, you know, that's it. Now let's look for the prior confusion to this area. We've got that straight. It has to be within the last week or so before that. All right, that's fine. All right, what's the personnel in this confusion? Well, there was the lorry driver. And the three children that were riding in back. Back of what, you know? We got a car smash, you see. And he spent the next several days in the hospital between life and death, and we're running the beginning of a beautiful engram, and this system, I assure you, does not handle engrams. So watch it. There can be moments of pain and that sort of upset in there, and this system will get you out of them more easily than other systems, and you mustn't avoid an area just because there was an accident in there or something like that. As long as you're assessing self-determined decisions to change, you don't run into this difficulty. And you get a proper assessment. You go on the line. But the CC has to sort this out for a while. Sometimes he really goes around in circles. Yeah, he'll tell you about the doctor ordering him to the mountains. Just hold your pencil up. Give him TR4 on it. Say, oh, doctor ordered you to mountains. Thank you. Yeah, good, fine, good. All right. Now let's have a self-determined change that I just asked for. Let's have this self-determined change. Self-determined change that you made yourself. Oh. Well, my mother took me out of prep school. You say, good, thank you, that's fine, I like that, so far. Now, I'll repeat the question here. What I want is a self-determined change that you did yourself on your own initiative.
Oh, I've got that. I've got that. Well, my father and mother moved to another town when I was young.
Don't commit suicide.
Just keep at it until you've got this thing grooved in. Lay down the pencil and say, now look, what I want from you is times when you yourself, you yourself, decided on a change in life. Now, for instance, churches, or you decided to shift something in your religion or something like that. That's what I want. That's what I want. You got that? He's got that. Now you pick up your hands again and sit there and look at him alertly. Right? All right, you probably get them. And then you get a list of that, and then you make sure that everyone is a self-determined change. Don't go keep challenging the PC each time he gives you one. He says, I decided, that's good enough. You go down that list. You assess that thing out. You take the one with the greatest fall, or assess it by elimination. Oddly enough, they will assess by elimination. Just like prehab scale. But want to watch it because they'll assess all the way out if you don't grab the last one just as it disappears. Don't sit there like an idiot saying which one was the one that went out last. You've got two, you see, and you're going between these two, and you go from one to the other and keep making marks, and you go back and you read that one, and you say, well, it must have been the other. That's gone too. So which one did you have? And do your assessment. Take that thing. Now, move back. Find out if there was anything happened just before that. And then move it back about a month to be safe. And take that as your arbitrary date. It's an arbitrary date that is made to include a distance as close to that as a month. And that'll include anything that happened in that period. And everything will be dandy. But if you permit that date to go back several years for the prior confusion, you'll miss it wildly. And you get the PC all wound up in a circle. You want that area that just happened. Because let me tell you, his decision was just preceded by the recognition that he had an awful problem, to which the decision is a solution. The decision is always a solution to a problem. And just before he had this awful problem, while he was in there committing overts and people were missing withholds with both fists, he had both feet into life up to the neck. If that's the hottest one that comes up. But you mustn't go back any great time period from that. Don't go back years. Take that as your date and give it the works here, just as I've been giving you here. Do those middle rude prep check type of thing. Let's say it turned up to September the 2nd, 1951. So you'd say, since September 2nd, 51, is there anything you have suppressed? On and on and on and on and on. Now, you get sometimes thrown by this type of action. I might tell you at this time that I'm interested in this and interested in prep checking in an effort to upgrade the therapeutic value of prep checking. I'm quite interested in doing that. To make prep checking more meaningful. To make it do more for a case. And what I'm giving you, I should have probably given you a better preliminary on the thing, but what I'm giving you actually make prep checking pretty beefy. If it is well done, the things that you can do with this will, I think, astonish even you. When you've already had results on this, that, and the other thing, you'd be quite astonished. You get somebody, you only got a 25-hour intensive on this person and that sort of thing, you'd be unhappy to prep check this person, perhaps, and try something desperate if it was all the money the poor bloke had. You didn't think you'd get very far with your prep checking and so forth. No, if you had a little experience with this particular type of Midroots type prep checking, you'd feel comfortable about sitting there and giving it to him because, man, some things are going to fly off he never heard the likes of. And also, because you've achieved sufficiently high result, the possibility of your getting a dirty needle after this is quite slight.
your auditor altitude, you see, has taken a rocket ride to Venus. Okay. You're amongst the stars, as far as this guy's concerned. Well, it's all real to him. That's the main thing that happens. It's all quite real. Because, of course, he isn't going to tell you anything that he doesn't think he has. And you don't fish for any data. You don't push him around. You don't try to get any overts off, particularly. You wind up, make sure when you finish all this that you get your middle rudiment in, that you haven't missed any withholds on him, because that could be catastrophic, but that's a middle rudiment type action. Fast checks, eh? And your guy's going to wind up at the end of this line, or the lady involved, and I think you will find to be quite happy with what you have done. And actually, you've done something rather relaxed about the whole thing. Now, in handling prep checking, in general, you would perhaps feel shy of doing it if you weren't going to get a result which was a desirable result to the PC. Well, I think you'd find this. Let us take an example here. Mrs. Jones has just been delivered of a 19-pound bouncing boy and has a slight postpartum psychosis. And you think the best thing to do is to run out the birth engram. Now, I can tell you that the best thing to do would be this middle roots prep check, predated on some prior confusion, prior to that, not taking the birth as a date, but letting your date fall so that the birth is included in the period. You're not targeting at it. You're auditing her a month and a half after the date of the delivery. Well, you fish back and find out a little bit more and talk to her about her life in that period, and just take it at 2 months. That includes that period. And I think you'll be astonished to find the somatics fly off without winding the PC stuck in the incident. See? It has value, ma'am. This amounts to a PT problem, don't you see? This just happened. You don't get it out of the way, why, you're going to have a mess on your hands. That gives the auditor another weapon and tool. Now, how successful it is totally dependent upon the quality of your meter reading, and the degree the PC is in session, and the excellence with which you clean off those questions, one after the other, clean them off when you test them. I think you'd wind up at the other end of the line with a very happy PC. Because a PC asked permissively in this fashion won't pull themselves deeper into the pit than they think they can go at any given moment. And you've got that interesting rule that is given, I think, in Book 3 of Dianetics, Modern Science and Mental Health, that the mind has a self-protective mechanism. You don't tend to overthrow that. Now, this was necessary at this time, since we have so many techniques that will overthrow the balance of the mind. We can run into somebody today that's one of the reasons you wonder, well, my God, not in the old days. I never had this many ARC breaks from PC, just putting in rudiments and that sort of thing. Must be my auditing's deteriorated. No, you got a stepped-up model session, don't you think? The potential of ARC is fantastic. If you don't learn how to drive this car right, it's like a Ferrari or a Cooper Special, man. That thing is going to go off the curves. You're driving a racing car. You might as well make up your mind to it. See, this thing has got power and it's got speed. If you want to go back and drive a Mercedes-Benz 1898 model, you won't get anywhere near the amount of ARC brakes and upsets from PC. You won't get the results either. You got the difference of what you're learning right now. Well, similarly, this is gunned up prep checking. But there was it necessary at this time to have a relatively permissive system which didn't overthrow the balance of the mind. All right, let's take an extreme example of this. This girl never under God's green earth ever dared go near the time she was thrown into the institution, electric shocked within an inch of her life. She begs you not to go anywhere near this. Well, that's one thing she won't talk about. If you guarantee not to talk about this in any way, shape, or form, she'd be perfectly happy to be audited. Select a period, 2 months ahead of it. Run it. I think if you audit well, you'll be on the safe side. But if you don't audit it well and find yourself with the feeling that you have just shot off the edge of the Grand Canyon within a racing car and it is turning over and over and over in empty space, don't say I didn't warn you. The thing to do is, of course, go back to giving a touch assist. Can't miss a meter read with a touch assist. It has that advantage. You know, there's some guy in practice someplace in the Middle West of the United States right now who does nothing but touch assists, has never been trained as an auditor, and has a roaringly successful practice. So we mustn't sneer at these old techniques. But I just give you the word of warning. Okay? You put a 500-horsepower supercharged engine in an aluminum tubular frame hull, and it takes some neat driving, that's all. So driving is neat. And if you notice on such a car, there are a number of curves in the road. I'll just point out one little thing to you. That there are a number of curves in the road, and therefore, you cannot go on the average of not missing many. You're allowed just one curve, and then they bury you. That's pretty near the way it is. Okay. You think that might do you some good?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.